Can everyone hear me? This is on? Okay. All right. So they made a good amount of announcements, but there was one announcement that I wanted them to hold off on because I wanted to give it myself. And so that's this. I'm pregnant. Just kidding. So Kathy is expected to have my baby, I hope. Just kidding. On September 28th, actually. September 28th. So we're really excited and looking forward to it. But before I even get into anything, what I really, really wanted to do, or how I wanted to start off, was just with kind of sharing something personal with you guys, something that I've been going through. So my dad, this was about 2 months ago, I guess, at this point. He asked, you know, he came up to me, and he asked if I would be willing to speak. And I said, you know, yeah, I think I'd be willing to speak. Let me kind of pray about it, think about it a little bit. And I did. And, you know, so obviously decided to do it. But it was about a month ago, you know, that this something like started to set in, you know, where you get nervous. And I broke it down and thought about it. And I'm like, you know, why am I nervous? And the reality of it is the reason that I was nervous or the reason that I am nervous is this performance anxiety, right? And it's normal. It's normal for a lot of us where it's like, you know, I want to perform. Like, I really want to do a good job. And then I started breaking it down and I'm like, hold on, you know, why do I have this performance anxiety? Why is that? And, you know, let's be real. I'm going to be completely upfront with you. You know, I want people to come up to me, you know, pat me on the back. Good job, man. You did an excellent job. You know, and then I stopped and I said, you know what, that's not what I really, really want. You know, that's not my true desire. My true desire is that the Holy Spirit would literally do something here. You know, that the Holy Spirit would come to this place and that he would touch my heart, that he would touch your hearts, that he would speak through me, that something supernatural and different, you know, out of the ordinary would literally take place here. That it would be something supernatural. Supernatural, you know? So before anything, what I want to do is I just want to pray for that. I just want to invite the Holy Spirit to this place. So if you'll just close your eyes and bow your heads with me, please. Father God, we love you, Lord. We love you so much, Lord God. God, every day there's this battle between our spirit and our flesh. Father, I pray that today, this morning, Lord Jesus, that your spirit would prevail in this place, my God. Lord Jesus, I pray that your spirit would prevail in this church, in this body of believers, in this sanctuary, in this house, Father. Lord Jesus, you tell us that wherever two or more are gathered together in your name, that you're here in our midst, Father. So I believe right now, Lord, that your word is true, that your word is the real deal, Father. And so we're leaning on that this morning, Father God. We know and we trust in you, Jesus. Lord God, that it's you, Lord, you, God. We stand on you this morning, Father. And I thank you so much, Lord, for what you're going to do this morning, Lord. It's all about you. It's not about me or anyone or anything else, Father God. I pray that you would get the glory, that you would get the honor, and Jesus, that you would get all of the praise, Lord, because you deserve all of the praise, Father. You're worthy, Jesus. And this morning, Lord, I thank you so much for what you have already done. We pray this in faith, Father, for what you've already done in the hearts, in the minds of these people, of your children here this morning today. And we pray these things in your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. So, but you know, before kind of getting into what it is that, you know, that I spoke about, it's interesting. It's actually very interesting because, you know, these past, you know, few weeks, months, whatever it is, I've kind of been preparing, you know, really praying and figuring out, you know, what is it, you know, that God wants to speak to us this morning? What does he want to say to me, through me? You know, what word does he want to deliver? And so as I was praying, you know, I kind of was led to this parable. And so, you know, as I'm led to the parable, I felt that this is, you know, okay, this is kind of what God wants me to speak about. You know, he wants me to talk about this parable. And for those of you who don't know what a parable is, it's a short story, you know, that Jesus would use to kind of convey a message, you know, to the people of that time. So, you know, I'm reading through the parable and I'm like, wow, this is what God, you know, wants me to speak about. And so it is 14 verses. So it's a little long, you know, especially for, I know for myself, my attention span isn't the best in the world. So, you know, what I'm going to ask is that you would really buckle down right now in terms of, you know, you buckle down, you'd listen to what it is that, you know, this parable is about, because it's actually a really interesting story if you just stop and you listen to what's kind of going on here. And just to kind of give you an idea of how powerful the Word of God is, a real life, you know, modern day story, I was talking to Kathy, and, you know, this is years ago. Kathy's my wife, for those of you who don't know, and this is years ago. You know, she had a friend who kind of came to the church, and this guy, he was a devil worshiper. So he was, you know, totally out in the open about it. You know, he would tell people, he didn't really hold much back about it. He worshiped the devil the way that we worship Jesus, you know, same type of deal. And, you know, so Kathy would try and witness to him. She'd try and have these conversations with him and tell him, you know, about her testimony or things that God has done in her life and, you know, for her, through her. And, you know, he's a very respectful guy, nice guy, but he would just always kind of create this argument almost, you know, and it was always this clashing and this back and forth, and nothing was really done in the spirit. He wasn't changed. This guy just continued, you know, worshiping the devil and doing what he did until one day that, you know, she just felt led to read a psalm to him. So she just read a psalm to him, and he started crying. You know, he just started, you know, bawling. And she said, you know, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And immediately like that, he just, you know, nodded his head and he said, yes, I would. And so this guy became a Christian because of the Word of God. You know, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, you know, it says that the Word of God is living, it's breathing, this thing is alive, you know? So I want you to really just buckle down for these next 14 verses and just listen to, you know, what it is that, you know, Jesus is saying here, because again, it's in red lettering, and Jesus is speaking. So it should be up on the slide. There it is. It's Matthew, if you want to even turn in your own Bible. It's Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. So again, that's Matthew 22, 1 through 14. And so again, listen to everything that's being said here. So I'm going to read it nice and slow. It says, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their way. One to his farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed the murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. For many are called, but few are chosen. That's a famous quote, right? A lot of us have heard that before. Many are called, but few are chosen. So when I got this word, you know, I started reading, you know, this parable, and I felt like this is what God wanted me to speak about. I set it as my phone background, you know, so it's been my phone background for about the past month or so. Where, you know, it says, for many are called, or, you know, in other versions it says, for many are invited, but few are chosen. okay? So I just kind of been meditating on this thing and thinking like, you know, what's going on with this? What does it mean? And, you know, this verse here is actually, it's caused a lot of controversy in the past where, you know, you have the whole Arminianism versus Calvinism where, you know, once saved, always saved, or, you know, you can lose your salvation. And that's not the direction that I'm trying to go in this morning. I want to take a different direction. And I kind of want to do a little bit of a different view on this thing. And I just want to start historically, really quickly, okay? So historically, all right, whenever there was a marriage feast back in Bible times, back in the day, right, what people would do, okay, is, you know, it's not like they would just hop in their car as a family and they'd shoot off to the marriage feast or, you know, to the wedding, and that was the end of it. This thing was a big deal. You know, it's like, okay, you got a slave coming to you and he's inviting you to the marriage feast. Basically, it could be anywhere from, you know, 40, 50, 60 miles away, and it's not like, again, you're hopping in a car, so you're going to have to walk on foot. Okay, so this could sometimes be 2-3-4 day journey with your whole entire family. So it's not like, you know, this is something small. This is something serious. You know, you've got to really, you know, set aside some time. You've got to set yourself up the right way because, you know, I mean, what if it rains and you've got all your kids with you? You know, you've got to set your farm aside. You've got to set your business aside to just say, you know what? This thing is important. I really want to make the journey to the marriage feast. I want to go to the wedding feast. So this is a big, you know, undertaking for someone to say, I'm going to actually make the trip there. I'm going to do it. And you can see there's a lot of people, you know, who don't do that. It's not like you had a TripAdvisor.com or, you know, an Expedia.com where you could just set it up and you have your flight, you have your hotel, you know, you see the restaurants in the area or whatever. It's not like that. So, you know, this was a big, big undertaking. You know, you're going to have to take, you know, a serious journey. So you can see in verse 3, it says that the first batch of people, when the king sends out his slaves, what happens is these people, number one, they are unwilling to come. They just don't want to come. So then I stopped and I was thinking about it. Like, why are these people unwilling to come? They don't want to take the journey, right? Let's be real. They don't want to take the journey. So what does that make them? They're lazy. Okay? So these are people who are just kind of lazy, and they're like, you know what? I mean, I understand that there's a wedding feast. I understand that I'm invited, but I'm not going to take this like 2-3-4 day journey. What am I going to do that for? That's like a lot of work. I mean, that's a lot of responsibility. You know, that's a lot of commitment. You know, so the way that I'm looking at this is, you know, life is a journey, right? Life is a journey. What the Bible says that, you know, life is like a marathon, okay? Life is like, you know, this marathon. When we're walking with the Lord, it's not a sprint, you know, quick thing and it's over and that's the end of it. Life is a marathon and we've got to keep running. You know, we've got, you know, got to keep trucking along, and it's not very easy. So a lot of people don't want to take that journey. They don't want to live the life of a Christian. That's hard. No. Calm down with that. Relax with that, okay? Because I don't really want to do that. That's, you know, whatever it is. It's boring. It's too much work. I don't want to deal with it, okay? So I'm unwilling to come. I'm not going to come. I'm not going to make that journey. I'm going to stay put. I'm going to hang out here because I'm comfortable here. Why are you trying to make me uncomfortable? Stop that. You know? Why are you going to do that? So these are people who are unwilling to come. They're lazy. They're comfortable with where they're at, okay? So that's the first type of people. First type of people. So now, when I was reading this, I was starting to look at myself and say, am I like this guy? You know, am I like these people who are invited? I'm called, but I don't know if I'm willing to come. You know, am I willing to come? Am I willing to come to, you know, just pack up my things and say, you know what, I'm just going to do this thing. I'm just going to do it. You know, if this thing is worth it, I only have, you know, whatever it is, I mean, 60, 70, 80 years on this earth. So I'm going to do this thing, okay? I'm going to pack up my things, and I'm going to go. I'm going to be willing to come. But the truth is that, you know, there's some people, and we can see this in this parable, that are unwilling to come. Then we have a second type of person, okay? Because the slaves come back to the king. The king says, all right, you know what? Let them know I got my fattened calf. I got all this stuff, my livestock, best of the best, okay? I'm preparing it for these people. Are they going to listen to me? Are they going to do something about this? Are they going to go or what? Like, are they going to come? You know, we have this thing prepared. So he sends out the slaves a second time. And when he sends out the slaves a second time, you see in verse 5, what happens? It says, they paid no attention, and they went their way. Where'd they go? One to his own farm and another to his business. So what? So these are people, right? Not necessarily lazy because they're hardworking. You know, they're people who they're working on their farm. They're, you know, feeding their children, their, you know, their family. They're taking care of things, you know, when it comes to their business. They're dealing with their business, but what? Their priorities are upside down. They're upside down, right? So when someone comes and asks them, it's just relax, calm down. I got to do what I'm doing. And it's kind of, you know, you push it off to the side and it's, come on, man, let's be real here. I got to do some stuff, you know? I got to do some stuff. You don't understand. But the Bible says, you know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all these things will be added unto you. So isn't that upside down to put your farm, to put your business, whatever it is you might be putting first before Christ, right, in front of him? Let's be real. When you seek first the kingdom of heaven, what happens is all of these things come to you, okay? All of them come to you. If you're worried about finances, relationships, family, friends, whatever it is, whatever's happening in your life, if you will seek first the kingdom of heaven, the word of God says it, it's living and it's breathing, right? So if you believe that, then you seek first the kingdom of heaven, then all of these things are going to be added unto you. But what did these guys do? These guys were worried about their farms. They were worried about their businesses, right? And they said, I'm going to deal with that at a later time. Maybe, probably not, but whatever. I'll just tell you that so this guy heads on his way, right? So that's the second type of person. And we can relate to that because, you know, it's not necessarily that these people were hostile towards the slaves or towards the invitation. You know, get out of here. What's the matter with you? You know, it's not like they were losing it on them, but they didn't want to go. They don't want to have to deal with it. So they said, you know what? I don't want to go. I don't want to have to deal with this. And their priorities are all out of whack. So for us, like I was saying before, you know, our number one priority should be to do the will of the Lord. It should be to do the will of the Father. We should be focused on him at all times. But it's so often that, you know, and I just wrote a few things down here. We let work, our finances, relationships, even friends, family, you know, our health, entertainment, just being comfortable, right? Because I don't like being uncomfortable. I hate that. I hate it. I'm uncomfortable right now, you know, being up here. But sometimes we got to be uncomfortable. You know, we got to get out of that comfort zone. We're not going to grow. We're not going to be stretched if we get out of our comfort zone. So, you know, God is calling us here. He's calling us. What he's doing is he's telling us that if he's not number one, if he's not our priority, we're not making it to the wedding feast. We are not living the life of a chosen people, okay? I want to be chosen at the end of this thing. I want him to come up to me and be, come on in, man. Awesome job. You did an amazing job. Joe Fagarazzo, right? For those of you who don't know him, this guy's a man of God. Just passed away a couple days ago. And, you know, this guy, he went into eternity. You know, and he stood before the Lord and he had his priorities in line. So I can guarantee you that he got to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. You know? And I want to be that man. You know, I want to be someone who enters into the glory of God. And I just see all of his splendor, all of his majesty. And I say, wow, this is awesome. Thank God he was my priority. But you know what the reality of it is? The reality of it is that it's extremely hard, right? Isn't it hard? It's hard. I mean, it can be difficult, right? To keep your priorities in line, to keep them where they need to be. And that's why, you know, over these past few years that I've been growing in my faith, I've really realized that I need to constantly sit down and realign myself, you know, realign where I'm at in my life. What's going on? You know, I'm starting to let work take priority right now. I'm starting to let, you know, the frustration of finances take priority right now. Whatever it is, there's so many things that are looking to just grab and steal our attention and make God, you know, number two, three, four, five priority instead of number one. Because when he's number one, mountains are moved. People are changed. Things happen, right? The Holy Spirit starts moving. So there's so many different avenues and distractions to where we could just get, you know, distracted. Again, one went to his own farm, another went to his business. So we've got to keep our priorities where they need to be, where they need to be. And that comes from paying close attention to what it is that's happening in your life. You know, what am I thinking about? What am I talking about? You know, what's going on in my life? What's happening with me? Where is work, you know, in relation to my relationship with God? We've got to ask ourselves these questions constantly, over and over and over again, because if we don't, we're going to be upside down. And you know what happened? These people, these farmers and these businessmen, they didn't even realize it. They were called. They're invited. All of us are invited. If you're sitting in here right now, you're listening, you have ears, you're invited. Okay, so all of us are called. We're all invited right here. Okay, every single person here is invited. But are you going to be chosen? Are you going to be chosen, hand-picked, selected, chosen? I want to be chosen. You know, I want to be someone who's chosen. I don't think there's anyone in here who doesn't want to be chosen. Of course you want to be chosen. That's an amazing thing, to live in paradise, to be in paradise in heaven with our Heavenly Father forever, forever. That's what I want. So, you know, there's a little bit of a branch off of these, or a subdivision, I guess you could say, off of these people. And this is a scary one, because when I read this verse, I'm like, my gosh, man, I got to start, like, you know, doing some, like, inner churning here and figuring out what's happening inside of me. Because when I read this verse, I start to get, you know, a little nervous. And then I'll need to pray and speak to God and say, am I like this? Am I like these guys? I don't want to be like these guys, because if I am, I want you to change me. I want you to make me different. I don't want to be like these guys. And it's actually, if you could pull that up also on the slide, that's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn there also, that'd be great, please. So again, that's Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, a subdivision of these people who have their priorities, you know, misaligned. And it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Or in other versions, it says, you who practice evil. I don't want to be one of those guys. I mean, these guys are intense, apparently, right? God's using them in wild ways. You know, God's using them to prophesy, speak the word of God over, you know, people's lives. I mean, God's using these guys to, you know, perform miracles. Someone's lame, you know, God uses them. He just, you know, works right through his vessel. And, you know, this guy who's lame can now walk. Right? Someone else, you know, the person's demon-possessed. They're throwing up. Crazy stuff is happening. They come over. They cast out that demon, you know, bind him. I mean, wow. And then it says what? Depart from me. I never knew you. So when they come before the presence of God, God is going to tell them, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know who you are. I'm not sure who you are. You got to depart from me. You got to leave from this place. I don't want to be someone who has my priorities all misaligned. See, these are people who have their priorities misaligned. Other things were coming before their relationship with God. God wasn't as important to them as other things, apparently. Otherwise, they'd say what? They'd say what? They'd say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enter into paradise. Come and enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I want him to say that to me. I know I keep saying it, but I can't say it enough. I want him to, you know, say that to me. I want him to answer my prayer of entering into the kingdom of heaven and having my priorities in line, you know, making him number one at all times, seeking him first so that all these things can be added unto me. And that comes from seeking the will of the Father, you know, being consecrated unto him. And then very quickly, we'll touch on the last type of person, and that's in verse chapter 6. So what it says in verse chapter 6, I'm going to have to flip back to Matthew chapter 22. Here it is. So in verse chapter 6, it says that the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. Okay? So these are people who were hostile towards the gospel. These are people, right? And I'm assuming not a lot of us are necessarily hostile towards the gospel, but maybe we have some friends or family members who just get uncomfortable when we start talking about the gospel. Right? And that's just being opposed to the gospel, right? That's not being aligned with the gospel. So these are people who just, you know, what on the extreme end, they persecute Christians. And then on the lower end, you know, more mild end, I guess you could say, they just get uncomfortable and, you know, itchy and don't want to be around people who are Christians or speaking about the gospel, okay? So that's the third type of person, you know, that's spoken about here. And you can see that this was taken really seriously and they were punished. The king, right? The king, what he does is he sends out his armies. He sends out his armies to destroy these people, to burn their city. So he did not take this thing lightly. He took it extremely seriously, so much so that he burned up the place. He burned up the place. So he doesn't fool around when it comes to, you know, this type of stuff. And so we may not be able to relate to that third type of person in our own lives. But I know for me personally, I'm constantly, you know, having to relate back to, you know, am I like that first person? Am I being lazy? Or, you know, am I like that second type of people who just doesn't have his priorities in line? It's constantly upside down, or I'm letting certain things jump above my relationship with Christ and what I need to be doing, you know, as a called and a chosen man of God. Called and a chosen man of God. I want to be, again, that chosen man of God. I'm sure you want to be that chosen man or that chosen woman of God. And it, you can see that, you know, all of us are invited here. So if we're sitting here, you know, we've been invited, but not all of us will be chosen unless we get our priorities in line. Unless we align our priorities and get this laziness, this stuff that's inside of us that just causes us to, you know, drag our feet and not necessarily focus on what it is that Christ is calling us to do, the will of the Father, the will of the Father. So I want to ask, and I didn't want to take too long because I wanted to leave some time at the end for a couple different things. So if Christian, if you would just come up and just play the guitar. Here's one thing that I wanted to do. One thing that I wanted to do is I wanted to have an altar call. I wanted to have a traditional altar call. You know, a traditional old school altar call. That's what I wanted to do. And it's for two different reasons. So the first is that if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, okay, then he's calling you right now. He's inviting you, okay, to the kingdom of heaven. Because again, remember, that's what this parable is about. This parable is about the kingdom of heaven, right? The kingdom of heaven is like this wedding feast. So if you know, you're feeling that tug, you're being invited, you are being called, then choose to come up here, right? Choose to come up here in just a moment, not yet. That's number one. So if you want to, you know, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and he's calling you right now, listen to his calling. It'll be the best thing you've ever done. It's not going to be the easiest thing you've ever done. It might actually be the hardest thing you've ever done. But it'll be the best thing that you have ever done, ever. There won't be anything that you've done in this life that's better than listening to what it is that, you know, Jesus is speaking to you today, to that invitation. The second is, right, so if you're feeling like maybe one or, you know, one of these two different types of people, where number one, maybe, you know, you're feeling like you've been lazy, you know, and you're not following after what it is that you know God has called you to, you know, follow after. And you still have time. You're sitting here. You are breathing. You've got, you know, breath in your lungs. You've got blood in your veins. This is the opportunity. You could do that. You know, you can come up here. You can make a change and say, from this day forward, I'm going to live as a chosen man or a chosen woman of God. Or maybe, you know, you're kind of like that second person where it's like, I don't think I have my priorities in line. You know, to be honest with you, I think that they're upside down, or I've got them in second, third, fourth, fifth place, and it's all messed up. You know, it's all messed up, and you just don't want to be in that place. You're, you know, disgruntled with being in that place, and it's the worst place to be in because you know you're there, but you just don't really know how to kind of get out of there. So Jesus is inviting you this morning. He's inviting you to just come up, you know, to just come up and surrender to him and say, you know what? I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I'm now going to, from this day forward, place you as number one in my life. You're going to be number one. You are going to be priority. I'm going to seek your will every single day of my life. When it's extremely hard and I feel like I just can't do it, I'm still going to do it. Because again, I got breath in my lungs. I have blood in my veins.
I have this opportunity, and we've only got a certain amount of time before this opportunity expires. Okay, so I'm just going to ask if the prayer team would come up, and I'm going to pray with, you know, the prayer team also. And if you feel, you know, that God is calling you, you know, this doesn't have to be awkward. It doesn't have to be weird. Just come. Just come and lay it at his feet. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father.